listen up well. Congregation, listen up well. Singers, listen up well. Okay? I was just pondering there a thought as to on worship for a moment in my own life. And you've heard me share many things in the past of how we've seen God move. And I believe one of the keys, if not the key, is the key of worship. Yeah. I did not say praise. They are two different things, yet they are often lumped together as praise and worship. They are not subcategories of one another. They are individual categories. And they have different aspects. And they have different reasons. And they have different functions. And so, but I believe worship is a key for seeing the power of God moving in our lives. And I've been sort of, I was just sort of sat there, and suddenly a thought came into my mind about my sort of hungering for a greater move of the things of God, and just wondering about it, and just contemplating for a moment. And I just felt the Lord just drop a thought into my heart and life. Have you ever been to a meal or had a meal, and you'd finished your meal, and you're still hungry? Not very often.
Very often.
Very often, are you? I'm not very often like that. Pardon? As long as I've had any pudding, I'm usually okay. But I think this week, a couple of times this week, I've sort of had my meal, had my pudding, and I'm still hungry, and I want something else, and my body says, and I need something else. And so, in the end, I got something else, and then I felt satisfied. And the Lord just seemed to bring a parallel to me, in the sense of that there are things in the realm of the spirit that we are seeking, we are pressing in towards, and we've eaten well. You know, we've been fed well with the word over the years, and we've eaten well, and we've grown spiritually stronger, but there's something missing. There is just that, there is something there. I am still not yet satisfied. I hope I never will be satisfied in that sense till I get to heaven. But there is a desire to reach out for more. And so I want to just share, and for us to focus on the topic of worship. Glory to God. Oh, we got turned on. Hallelujah. So if you'd like to turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, first book in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Look at that, make sure it's not interfering, is it? We're alright. Praise God. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2. This is the story of Cain and Abel. I want us to go back right to the first time when worship of some form, some shape, was first talked about in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2, and again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we have got Abel, who is looking after sheep. We have Cain, who is working the ground, growing corn, vegetables, and the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, brought of the firstling of his flocks, and of their fat portions, And the Lord had regard for Abel's offering. But Cain, and for his offering, God had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." We find here that this is the first time of man sacrificing to God. This is the first written record. You might say, well, why did God reject the offering of Cain? He brought of his labours and he brought of what he was taking care of. Why did God reject it? Well, let's just move back a little bit further and let's just turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. And then to Adam he said, this is God speaking to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I command you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow forth, and you shall eat the plants of the fields. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now there's the clue. There's the reason to why God rejected Cain's offering. The ground is being cursed at that stage. And so he brings an offering from a cursed ground. He brings a false offering. Whereas the sheep, the flocks that Cain is caring for, are blessed animals. God made them. God created them. God did not just draw them out of the ground. It doesn't say that. God spoke them into being. Remember that. These are small things, but these are very different things. God spoke things into being. He didn't speak you into being. He created you out of the ground. Thank God he's redeemed us from the curse through Christ Jesus. But remember where it is all been coming from. And so you find here that Cain brings the right offering. And his offering is accepted, and it is a sweet smelling savour unto God. And God is pleased with his offering. And our worship is about bringing an offering to God that pleases God. And we can bring an offering from a cursed ground. We can bring an offering that is directed by God. And I hope to bring that out today and show you some areas where we need to be looking at for the future. And the way that we need to be seeking God and going together. So the definition of worship is to pay homage, is to pay service to. Adoration that is felt and that is shown. A divine honour. We show a divine honour unto God. Being full of worship and thanksgiving to Christ. Those are some sort of definitions for worship that we need to begin to apply to our lives. To pay homage, to pay service, adoration, divine honour unto him, being full of worship and thanksgiving to Christ for what he has done for us. And what he is doing for us, and what he is going to do for us. Hallelujah. The end is not yet. Praise God. So let's turn to Deuteronomy. I'm just going to take you through some scriptures today and to look at. You'll need to get the tape later to listen to the tape to go through it, because we will pursue this through to its end. Because we shall be full and satisfied. We shall be a people that are anointed and full of the Holy Ghost and moving in that anointing. And to move in that anointing, we need to know how to worship God first. So Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. This is God speaking to Israel. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, that word serve here in the Hebrew means to worship. Means to worship. The word serve means to worship. So when you find, particularly in the Old Testament, the word serve, it means to worship. That's why we're called servants of the Lord. Because servants of the Lord worship and are worshipful towards their master. Hallelujah. And so God commands his people to be learn to be worshipful in Deuteronomy. Turn to Exodus chapter 23. You're going to be using your Bibles a bit today, flicking through the pages. Good for you, good exercise. Good on the thumbs, good on the pages, good on the mind, and blessed on the spirit. Praise God. Exodus 23 and verse 25. Now, this is a wonderful promise. This is a promise that you need to make sure you've got it highlighted, like Luke has in his Bible. This is a promise to those that worship the Lord. But you shall serve, what does serve mean? Pardon? Wonderful. But you shall serve, worship the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. That's a good grace to say over your table. Thank you, Lord, that this day your promise is to those that worship you. But Father, you will bless my bread, you will bless my water, and you will take sickness from me. That is a guarantee. Hallelujah. That is a check, and it will not bounce. That is a guarantee. But it is to those who worship. Those that don't worship, that is not a guarantee. The check is not signed. The check is not endorsed, lest there be worship in its makeup. Praise God. So, if you want to be well, worship. Praise the Lord. Joshua. Wonderful book, Joshua. Wonderful man. Joshua chapter 24. I hear the rustling of leaves. Chapter 24 of Joshua and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. What does it mean? Now therefore fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods of your fathers and serve that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. See how you can change that word? It fits. Worship the Lord. Serve the Lord. Worship the Lord. This is a wonderful verse, verse 15. I wasn't going to read it, but I've just seen the end of it. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to worship the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will worship. Whether the gods of your fathers, that your fathers worshipped, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but ask for me and my house, I will worship the Lord. See, I can change that word. And it that, you know, serve is a far, serve and worship in one sense, you know, there's a different meaning in to somebody. There's a greater, I feel there's a greater importance, there's a greater honing of the word worship when you say worship. You see, we are no longer slaves under the new covenant, are we? So we walk in freedom. Jesus now calls us friends. We're no longer slaves in that sense, in that terminology. So if we now we always think that when we talk about slaves, slaves serve, don't they? And if we're not careful, we'll lose the meaning of the fact of this word serve when it's worship. You see, in the new covenant, we're still to worship Him who is risen, ascended and glorified. And so we're worshipping Him. And so if you change that word as you know, just pencil it in just to remind yourself, worship, worship, worship. I'm here to worship the Lord with all of my heart. Give Him my all, not just a part. That's what it's about. But if we sing, I'm here to serve the Lord with all of my heart, you know, serve just doesn't quite have the same. But to worship, there's an intensity, there's a focus on that word, there's an importance about that word. You see, to serve means maybe subservient. Worship means that we're to come into His presence and we bring adoration unto Him. And we can stand in His presence, not with our head bowed in fear, but with our heads lifted up, that we can worship Him and give Him praise for who He is and for what He's done for us. Turn to the Psalms. Psalm 100. And verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 99 and verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. It's this adoration, this giving honour unto Him, paying homage for what He has done for us over the many years and what He's going to do for us in the future. And we don't worship Him because what He's going to do, we worship Him because it's already done. And we can rest in that promise, we can rest in that truth. Psalm 132 and verse 7 says this, Let us go into His dwelling place. Let us worship at His footstool. So you have to enter in. If you want to worship, you have to enter in. The word says enter into His courts with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise. You have to enter. If you want to worship, you have to enter. What does it mean by entering? It could mean changing your attitude. It could mean changing your focus. It could mean changing your thinking of what you're doing. It could mean closing the door and setting yourself on one side and moving into yourself into a place of worship and adoration unto God. Now, when you worship God, you go there not to get, you go there to give. Now the problem with our society today is it's give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. Now the word says, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. There is no question on it. But you've got to get the check signed right. You've got to get the check validated. You've got to get the promise validated. And the validation is worship. This is not in my sermon notes. This is just glory to God. Didn't know where I was going to go with this today. I've got pages of notes here, and that means you can be here for hours. Glory to God. And if the Spirit leads, well, we'll be here for days. And so we have to realize that to validate the check of the Word of God, worship is a key. It's the stamp. It's the rubber stamp, if you want, from heaven that says this is yours. Why? Because you've entered into His presence and you have worshipped Him. And again, remember, worship is different to praise. Don't get the two of them mixed up. And the problem today in today's society, we've got them mixed up. We've got them as a mixture. Now, if you look in Revelation and in Daniel, and look at the statue, where's the mixture? In the feet. Where does the stone Jesus hit? Feet. And it brings down everything else. The church today cannot afford to have mixture. Mixture brings weakness, not meekness. Weakness. And so we need to realize more and more that God is looking for a pure bride. It's about purity in His church. It's about purity in each individual. And worship will start to sort that out. Because as we enter into His presence in worship, as we enter, God will begin to mould us and shape us and take hold of us and use us. And God will take hold of the parts that He's not happy with and begin to deal with them. But it's in worship that those things happen. And maybe that's why, to some degree, the church does not want to enter into worship. Because I'm okay, thank you. I don't need to change anymore, is what you hear. But you see, we have to realize that our worship is in spirit and in truth. Not out of our soulish minds, not out of our emotions, but it is out of our spirit. You see, it's the spirit that gives life to this body. And it is the spirit that gives life to worship. And without the spirit on worship, there's no life in it. It is singing songs. You can play your guitar all day as fast as you want, as slow as you want. You can play the keyboard as loud, as soft. But if there is no spirit in it, it's a dead note. The word says it's a dead letter, so it's a dead note. Or as the word might say, it's just clanging cymbals. Now, I'm not knocking our musicians, don't get me wrong, but I am putting to you, every one of us, what I believe is one of the great ways forward to see a manifestation of the power and the presence of God. And you've heard me say many times, I want to be there in the presence and the manifestations of God. And I'm having to look back and think, where were the keys? What are the keys? What's it all about? I've even been trawling on the internet, looking at different people's thoughts and ideas on worship. Boy, there's some rubbish. Glory to God. You can have a website and put a load of rubbish on any time. But that's okay, that's their opinion. But this word of God is what tells us when we're on the right road. You don't add to this in the sense of the direction that God is pointing. The word has to be confirmed step by step. Moving us on, step by step, moment by moment. And as we move on, God will seek to change us and to move us. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, please. You'd think, well, why don't we... There's not much on worship in the New Testament. It's the Old Testament. He speaks much about worship. 1 Kings chapter 8... And verse 10 we'll start at. This is when Solomon has finished building the temple. And they are dedicating the temple. And they are coming up to the temple in worship and adoration unto God. And verse 10, and it came about when the priest came from the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. This is a promise from God. And this is a fulfillment from God. That God is beginning to move into this place that has been prepared for him. And it's been prepared by David started the preparation. David used to worship the Lord. Many of the Psalms, as we know, were written by David. And I believe that many of the things that David bought, he bought through adoration and through the want of the desire to worship God. And so they're in place and they're impregnated, these natural things are impregnated with the desire to worship God by David. Let's turn to Leviticus. Really got you digging, haven't we now? Leviticus chapter 16. This is just to confirm what Solomon had said, where it's been said. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2, and the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. This is where Solomon gets it from. Right back the tabernacle that they built, that tent that went around the wilderness, and God speaks and says, I will appear in the cloud. Do you know something? I'd like to see in this building a cloud. That's putting a bit lightly, but I long to see a cloud. Remember, there's a story that Kenneth Hagin wrote, one of his books, where he was in a meeting, and I believe it was during the time of worship unto the Lord in this meeting, and suddenly I think they were praying with people, and during that time, and the presence of God began to come in, and this cloud began to just fill the place. He saw it coming. He got up off the floor and went back on the platform, because he knew what was going to happen next. Because the word says when the cloud came, they could not stand to minister. So he decided to move himself. And as the cloud came down, people were just going under the power of the Spirit. And he just stood there and watched. And the cloud stayed there for a little while. And suddenly they heard a police car outside, coming in the distance. And the cloud at that stage seemed to have disappeared. So they walked outside amongst all these bodies laid on the floor, basically. And when they got outside, there were people on the pavement laid out. And obviously the police had had a call. And so the police car's racing down the street. And the pastor and Kenneth Hagin are stood there. And as the police car pulls up, one of the police officers jumps out the car, steps onto the pavement, and down he goes. And the pastor saw this, and he fell down and thought, I'm going to lay down because they're in serious trouble. And Kenneth Hagin's looking and saying, what are you doing? He said, we're in real trouble here. But there was a presence of the power of the glory of God that had come. And anybody within a certain distance from that building, if their foot hit the pavement, down they went under the power of God. Whether they were Christian or non-Christian, believer or unbeliever, the power of God came. And it comes by worship. Nobody is exempt from the power of God, whether it be heathen or not. The power of God will bring them down. And if you've got somebody that is coming against you, let the power of God bring them down, because your function is not to attack them, your function is to worship God. And as you worship God, God will bring the victory again and again and again. And so worship has multifunctions. Worship is something that we have to get hold of. It's not about playing instruments. It's not about singing songs. It is about a spirit-moving act on our behalf. It's not about an emotional feeling. Whether you come to church feeling fed up, cast down, cheesed off, mad, angry, happy, joyful, full of the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter about any of those things. It doesn't matter which aspect you're coming from, which end of the spectrum you're at. What matters is that when you come and you come to worship God, you worship God from your spirit. And if you've been reading the word, then there will be some joy in your spirit. There'll be some peace in your spirit. There may not be some peace in your mind. But if you let your spirit rise up and let your spirit begin to focus in on God, then the spirit will control and direct the mind. And it will bring it into peace. It will elevate it. And the worship of God will bring such a joy and such a power and a visitation. And that's what it's about. Glory to God. And God wants us to be hungering and thirsting after Him. He is righteousness. If you want to eat of it, then you've got to eat through worship. Take hold of God. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 1 right through to verse 14. And you can read that on your own later. Just make a note of that. This is where, I'll start with verse 1. This all, the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought the things that David his father had dedicated. You see, David had got things ready and he'd had them dedicated, he'd had them prepared. He'd had worship and adoration had gone over them, and they were given as unto the Lord. Even the silver and the gold and all the utensils, and put them in the treasury of God's, of the house of God. What have you got in your treasury? What have you got in your treasury that you can bring out with worship? Think about it. What have you got? Verse 7, then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord, to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the Holy of Holies, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubim made a covering over the Ark and its poles. and verse 12. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Hermon, Jethrahum, and the sons and kinsmen clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. Starting chapter 5, commencing from verse 1. I thought I'd said it. In my mind I'd said it anyway. I'd read it and said it. Pardon? If I've said it now, that's for sure. It's on tape now. Thank you for... If you didn't get it right, let me know. If I didn't get it right, let me know. And then we're all together, aren't we? Have we got that? 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We read verse 1. I want you to read all that chapter. So mate, put that down in your notes. Glory to God. And verse 12. And 120 priests blowing trumpets. What a band. What a band. But let's go back to verse 11. There's an important piece. Verse 11. And when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. They'd been and they'd sanctified themselves. They had themselves prepared to enter in to the presence of God and to bring worship. Now the Word of God says that we are kings and priests. So that means that you and I have to prepare ourselves when we come to the house of the Lord. We have to prepare ourselves when we enter into the presence of the Lord. Now, if we are doing this right, and we're not, we can easily walk into the presence of God at any time. But for many of us, we're not in that place. And we walk into the presence of God, but we walk in unsanctified. Come on, let's lay the line down. Let's say it as it is. Because if we don't, we will never correct what we are doing wrong. And I'm not saying I'm any better than you. I'm you've not heard this before. Neither have I. This is the first time today. And so we have to learn to prepare ourselves before we enter into the presence of God. When you pick up this book, this Bible, this Word of God, this living letter, this Jesus, this flesh, this revelation, we need to be ready. We need to have worshipped God so that He can speak to us. Now that's different to what most of us have been told. That's different to what most of us do. Yes? No? We just pick it up and read it. No way. We are a very, very, very privileged people. But I'm going to say this. Every one of us is abusing our privileges. It's not necessarily your fault. But it's the way we've been taught. But we're undoing that. We're picking out the stitches. And we're going to bring a new tapestry. we're going to weave in what is holy and what is righteous and what is true. And when we do that, we will see the power of God working. We will see the power of God moving. We have so much freedom in this country. We have so many facilities for what we term praise and worship in equipment. I mean, look what we've got, and we've got nothing. We have all these things here. And yet, here we have trumpets. 120 trumpets blowing in unison. Oh, look, now there's a word. There's a word. Give me another word for unison. Unity. Blowing in unity. One accord. We know what happens in Acts in one accord. Don't we? Praise God. In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were making themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, see, it doesn't say voices. One voice. Bish preached on one note. Do you remember? One voice, one note. When they lifted up their voice. Now you and I would have said, and when they lifted up their voices, wouldn't we? We have to read what it says. When they lifted up their voice, they're in unity, they're in unison, they're in one accord, and they're in that one note to bring down the presence and the power of God. And that's what praise and worship has to be about. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud. There's the key, there's the answer. But we're a long way off. Because all of this starts at home. All of this starts with one individual. You have to start to learn and to practice worship on your own, before God, unto God, to worship Him. You can't just come in here and do it. It will help being in here and you learn to worship to some degree, but in the end it has to come out of your own spirit. And you have to tune your spirit to worship God. Now some may say, well, I've never done that before, I've never heard this before, I don't know how to do it. Well, hopefully we'll try and help. But it is out of your innermost being, the word says, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your innermost being shall flow worship and adoration unto God. It doesn't come out of your mind. Because spiritually we can worship God at any time. Paul and Silas in prison, being beaten, whipped, bruised, marred, thrown in the stocks, locked up, put in the deepest dungeon, which stank, the rats running all over the place, and Paul says, we'll sing. But I don't feel like singing, said Silas. And Paul says, I didn't ask you whether you felt like singing. I didn't ask how your mind was feeling. I said, we will sing. Referring to the inner man, to referring to the spirit. The spirit will sing unto the Lord. And as they started to sing unto the Lord, the foundation shook, their chains fell off. Hallelujah. They rose, went forth, and were free. And salvation came to a household that day. Now that was because they went past their minds, they ignored their feelings, they chose to ignore their bank balance, they chose to ignore the problem that they have at work, they chose to ignore their family problems, and they decided that I will worship God. I know it's a tough call initially, it's difficult to learn to drive. You have to do things together with your left foot, your right hand and your left hand. And I remember, some of you will remember the Morris 1100s, front wheel drive, the first front wheel drive cars basically. Remember the gear lever? It was a pudding stick. You hadn't got a clue what gear you were in. You went like this. You remember, don't you, this? And I remember saying, a friend of mine said, "Here, have a go in my car." He was a farmer, so we went down the fields. Well, the bumps and that and everything, because when you're trying to find another gear, and I mean, it was impossible. They were rubbish. They were awful things. Really. Today you get in these cars, I mean, Bill's got one, all he does is put his foot on the gas and press his foot on the brake pedal to stop it. It stops and goes. He don't even bother, you know. He's got rid of that. But today, even today, with better cars and better gearboxes, you can pop them in with just literally one finger and they'll follow and go, and they're great to work with. But you still have to have that connection, left arm, left leg, right leg working, and you know, and if you're not careful, your arm starts doing all sorts of different things. You know, you push forward and this arm goes that way, pull back and this arm, and you're out of sync. And you have to work at this thing until it becomes a habit, and you do it without even thinking. If you can do that when you're driving, you can start a practice to do worship even when you're feeling off it, even when things are against you, even when it's really tough, because God will always bring an answer. God will always bring deliverance. God will always bring freedom during worship. But when you're stressed, when you're striving, and when you're struggling, and when you're fighting, God is not in there to bring deliverance. Because He's going to let you learn how to give over to Him. Because He knows that none of you are asses. He never created any of you to carry a load. That's why He created you to stand up. Stand up straight. The Word of God says, cast some of your care onto Him. Hang on to the rest because you're going to be an ass. Is that what it says? No. The Word of God says, cast all your care. Now that word cast means absolutely hurl it as far as you can. Throw it as far as you can and make sure you let go of the rope. Now, the fishermen learnt to cast, to hurl their nets, and then they went and dragged it back in to see what else they caught. That's not what you've got to do. You have to hurl your problems, hurl your situations as far away from you as you can, turn your back on them, and worship God. And He will bring the deliverance. The answer may not come straight away. Now I'm talking now out of personal experience now. Even this week I've had an answer. Thank God. In fact, no, this week I've had two answers. Praise God. One of them I said, Lord, I put something before me. I said, Lord, this is your problem. This is your situation. You have to deal with it. 3 days later, the phone rings and I get my answer. Wow, that's quick. I have another problem that's been ongoing for a number of weeks, and I said, Lord, you know we want to be righteous and honourable. Lord, show us what to do. Lord, make a way through this situation. Had a phone call on Friday. God has made a way. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. But you see, I've got two options. I can take this on board and worry and fret and just, you know, lose sleep. Go grayer. I chose not to. And when people were pressurizing me to, you've got to do something about this, it's like, God has got to do something about this. Because He's the one who can bring deliverance, and you'll come out not smelling the fire. You won't get burned. One of these situations, you could get burned. But glory to God. Hallelujah. He whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. We haven't done the first page yet. Got 4 pages of notes here. Alright. The essence of true worship. I'll probably just run this through to try and get the first, I don't know, page done, maybe just over. The essence of true worship. God has prescribed for you and me a pattern of worship. And this pattern was prescribed for the Jews, and they focused on Jerusalem. This is for the Old Testament, when they'd gone into the Promised Land. God prescribed this pattern for them to worship and focus upon Jerusalem. Then there's a divine pattern that was designed as a witness for all mankind regarding the right way of salvation. Thank God there is a right way of salvation. Thank God last week Ivy took that step. Amen. Praise God, and she made a decision for the Lord Jesus. After the meeting, when you'd all gone home, glory to God, Grace and Ivy were talking, and she made a decision, and we prayed with her. Amen. And that was, it's a real blessing. And Ivy's been so blessed by being here over these last few weeks, the peace that she's felt. And you know, when that peace of God begins to come into your life, it begins to make those changes. And suddenly you realise the power that there is in the name of our Lord Jesus. The power that there is in the Word of God to change lives, to strengthen you. And it's not over yet. You've just got the first foot on the ladder. There are many more blessings and great things to come. So praise God for that. And so salvation is of the Jews. What the word says. For unto them was committed the oracles of God. John 4:22. Romans 3:22. Let's just have a look at John 4:22. We're not going to rush on too fast. We'll give good due to what it's needed, because this is not a subject that we're going to rush through. John 4:22. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is of the Jews. Now this is Jesus speaking to the woman and saying that basically there's coming a day when we won't be worshipping in Jerusalem. We won't be worshipping on your mountain. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus is lifted up and He gives His life for us, we shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise His name. Verse 23 says, but an hour is coming and is now when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. Musicians in particular, first of all, and singers. The word says that we shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. We're not here to entertain. We're not here to just put all the right chords and keys together. We are here to seek God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you are singing, if you are playing through an ego situation for self-gratification, you're doing it for the wrong motivation. I'm being blunt, being honest. Do you know why? I want to see the cloud. And those of us that come to church to worship together, again, it's not about self-gratification, but it is about giving unto God. It is about worshipping God for who He is. And as we do that, we shall see the presence of God manifest in this place. You'll see it in your life. And miracles will start to happen. I believe that. That is all part of what God is doing. Jesus said, "Greater things shall you do in my name." And Jesus set time on one side for him to go and spend time with his Father, to worship his Father. And you and I need to learn to do that. And as we do that, we will see the power and the presence of God moving in our lives in a tremendous way. Moving around us in a tremendous way. I'm just reading some information that I pulled off from somewhere. In this sense, the Jews worshipped what they knew. They were given a law, and they were told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. So it was written down in laws, rules and regulations for them. And they adhered to that knowledge of the law, and it is pertaining to the place of divine ordinances. And here we are again, directed to the importance of revealed religion as given in law. The Samaritans had abandoned the law and forged their own mongrel religion. So what we've got two religions now. We have the religion that came through Moses for temple worship. And then when the tribes of Israel split off and became Samaritans, they forged their own form of worship, a mongrel form. We heard a bit about that last week, the tribes breaking away. And they'd formed their own sort of worship. 2 Kings chapter 17. Verse 14, you need to read through that chapter, and I'm going to just pick out some bones from it. Okay, we'll read from verse 13, sorry. "Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and every seer, saying, 'Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you through my servant the prophet.' However, they did not listen, but stiff-necked..." You got it right? 2 Kings. I did say 2 Kings, didn't I? Praise God. It's alright. It's alright. I just heard Geraldine moaning down there and I thought, oh, I've done it again. See, I'm listening to you as well. Where do you get to? 14, thank you. "However, they did not listen, but stiff-necked..." Not talking about you, Geraldine, honest. You just misheard, all right? "However, they did not listen, but stiffened their neck like their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers, and his warnings which he warned them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do like them." So here they are, they've gone stiff-necked, they've gone rebellious, they've gone their own way. They've ignored what God has told them to do, and they've lost true worship. And they're making it up for themselves. And we'll see it in the New Testament, how they've made it up for themselves. It's become a mixture. Keep away from mixtures. It's not good. In another matter, Jesus reiterates the importance of God's appointment in religion. The hour cometh when he shall neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. That's what we've got to do. We've got to worship God the Father. We're not worshipping a system, but we're worshipping God the Father. A great change was about to occur, respecting the outward ordinances of worship. At whose direction? Not by man's appointment, but by the appointment of God. He alone is the lawgiver. None may tamper with the pattern which he has established. Yet it is the Lord's prerogative to make alterations in conformity with his purpose. One of the things we have to realize is that God has laid down the pattern of worship. He's laid it down in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of our mind. And we are moving into situations these days where people are changing the form of worship. Are they God? Has God laid it down in a different way? Now you might say, and people will say, yeah, but we have got to change with the times. We've got to move with the times. Why? Because I've seen for the last 20 years that the church has attempted to move with the times. And I can look back over 20, 35 years and I can see where we've stopped seeing the glory of God. Because we've got a mixture. We've started to mix the things of the world because we've started to entertain and we've not started to worship. And so we come for a good sing-song and a good jam on the guitars. And a good bang on the keyboard. And rattle a few beats out on the drums. But we've not come to worship. And that's why the church today, and you've got all your TV ministries, send us $50 to keep us on the air. And we'll send you a book that's only worth $2, but send us $50. Or else, if you don't, we'll go off the air. You know what the answer is to that? Go off the air. Because if God hasn't appointed you there, then go off the air. God keeps what he calls. Hallelujah. Remember that. When they work on your conscience, when they work on your emotions, start to listen with the realm of the Spirit. Start to walk in the realm of the Spirit. But you see, we've compromised over the years. And we're not seeing the signs, wonders and miracles. The reason I came to Christ was because I saw signs and wonders and miracles. I've been to Sunday school. I've been taught the Word of God. I'd gone to Methodist Sunday school for I don't know how many years. I was sent. So I went. Unlike children today, when they're sent, they kick up a fuss. To go is the word. Do you know, I mean, think about it. When these kids get to that point where God calls them and says, go, what are they going to do? They're going to kick up another fuss and argue with God. You see, we've let things slip. When the words, when it says go, go. Don't argue. Don't back chat. No lip. Just do it. Why? No reason. Do it. I'm not a dictator. But listen, when God says to me, Andrew, go and do this, I've said to him, why? And he said, mind your own business, just go and do it. He once said to me, go and pray for a dead person. I says, will that person get up? He says, I'm not going to tell you that. Just go and do it. He said, I demand obedience. The word says, I demand obedience. It's obedience that God wants. We want publicity. We want our pride to be boosted up. You know, I'll go and pray for them, God, because I know you said they're going to get up and be healed. So I'll go and do it, so I'm okay. You're not walking on water. You're not walking in faith. You're walking in a sense of a head knowledge then. You're not walking in the realm of the Spirit. And when you walk in the sense of your head knowledge, God's not with you. I'll tell you that now. Because God is not in your intellect. Because He can't be, because He's Spirit. Hallelujah. So God wants you to walk in spirit and in truth. And when He says go, you go. And you learn to listen to your parents, young people. And when they say go, you go. And then when God speaks to you, your spiritual father speaks to you and say go, you will go. And you won't miss it. But if you start arguing and bitching and moaning and complaining, you will miss it big time. And you'll moan for the rest of your life. This is all about worship unto God, you see. These are all the things that come out of worship. You see, when you worship somebody so much, when they say, I want you to do this, you say, I'll do it. And you just go and do it. Don't you? Maybe you don't know. Well, I'm telling you, you do. When you think so highly of somebody, and they make a request of you, and you might think it's unreasonable, you just go and do it. Because why? There is an overriding factor that you think so highly of them. And you trust them. And in the same way, we have to learn to think so highly of God because we will learn to worship Him and we can trust Him. That when He says go, we go. When He says come, we come. When He says stop, we stop. And we don't listen to the other voices. You know, I've been in situations where I've had phone calls. You must go to the hospital and pray for this person. If you don't go, they're going to die. And then God says, you're not going. And you're on the phone. And all this is happening. And the person says, so will you go? And you say, no. But they're going to die. So you say. But God said, no. You cannot walk against God. Well, you can. But you will not enjoy the walk. And you, yeah, exactly. And you'll accomplish nothing. You will waste your time. So when God says no, you just say, I'm sorry, I can't go. Yes, but it's not to be reasoned with when the Spirit says no. Neither is it to be reasoned with when the Spirit says go. And And then it was 2 weeks later, that person actually, God said to me, tell him to come to church, hear the word of God, and God will heal him and deliver him and set him free. And you know there are many of you. And God that day moved in might and power and set captives free. But if I'd have gone to the hospital, that's what would have happened. I'd have been blowing in the wind. And that's the answer, my friend, is just blowing in the wind. And it will be absolutely wasted. And do you know what happens then? The name of the Lord is not exalted, but the name of the Lord is brought low and said, and people say, see, their God's no good. Come on. We've got to wake up to these things. We've got to walk in that realm of that anointing, of that authority in God. And as we do that, we'll see God's moving in power. But it's listening, it's worshipping Him, it's flowing in the realm of the Spirit. It's not flowing in what you want to do. Do you know why? You can't do what you want to do. Because when you made a decision for Jesus, you gave up your free will. And you know, when people start to decide they're going to change the format of worship that's not biblical, they've just taken up their free will again. And they are going against God. Think about it. When we decide to move against the Spirit, when we decide we're not going to do what the Word tells us to do, we are chosen to take up our free will, become rebellious and stiff-necked, and go against the Word of God. And there is judgment on that. And today, judgment hangs over the churches. Oh, they're selling CDs like crazy. New songs are churned out like... I nearly said something I shouldn't have said then, but anyway. They're just churning them out. Why? Because the last one was a success. It was a top 10. So you've got to do another one because the record company wants some more money. And then it's sold on a name, not on an anointing. And so the next one, and it goes on and goes on until gradually they fade off and they have to find somebody else. The in thing. We've replaced God by in things. But these in things go out. So we have to look for another one. I want God. I don't need an in thing. I need God. I need the Spirit of God. He's the in thing. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. And that's what we need. And the only way we're going to get the real deal is when we start to really worship and get in touch with God. Jesus next summarizes the essence of true worship, which includes the inseparable union of both piety and knowledge. True worshippers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. That's John 4 and verse 23 and verse 24. The worship of these true worshippers is characterized in this manner: as an outworking of God's saving grace. When you start to worship God, it is an outworking of God's saving grace in your life. And that will begin to touch other people. It will change other people. God's sovereignty in salvation extends not only to the manner in which the elect are saved, but also to the purpose for which they are redeemed. You're not just saved and saved and saved, you're saved and you're redeemed for a purpose. You're not just got a ticket to get you to heaven, you're saved for a purpose in life. You're saved for a purpose while you walk on this earth. You're saved to serve, to worship the living God. Because we're all going to be signposts that say, this is our Redeemer. This is the Creator. Not Allah, not the Muslim faith. If we'd stand for what is true and right and stop pussyfooting around, this nation would be great. But if the church will stand on the word of God, this nation will become great. Because God will bless this nation and all that is in it. But we have the responsibility. And so the word is not to compromise. But the word is to stand on the word of God and declare the word of God and believe the word of God and walk that word out. And let worship be the prime mover in your life. And as we worship Him, we shall see great and mighty things. The one essential design in the salvation of the elect is that they shall worship in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God's eye is running to and fro throughout all the earth looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's out there looking for you. And so that's where we need to come to. I'm just going to have to close. I didn't finish the first page yet. So, how long have we been going now? Over an hour, haven't we? An hour and 20 have we had. We've had enough then. I have finished it. I'll have to run it. Come back to this. I hope you've been blessed so far. But I feel the Spirit of God urging to emphasize this point. I long to see, and I know many of you do long to see, God moving in great power, God visiting us in great power. You won't have to go outside and tell people to come in. They'll be drawn in. They'll be running in through conviction. You read stories in the Outer Hebrides when two ladies were praying and revival broke out in the churches and people were walking out the public houses and walking to church, convicted of sin. Nobody had preached the gospel. Nobody had said a word. But two ladies had got on their knees and they'd prayed for years. And it wasn't a great evangelist. It was a nobody. But in God he was somebody. In God he was a worshipper and he went and the power of God came. There are stories in Wales where over some churches, in one church in particular, there was a fire over the rooftop. Revival broke out. There's a fire of God burning on the roof. And the people thought the church was on fire, so they sent for the fire brigade. There was no fire. There was one church in Wales where on the back, on the wall, behind the altar, this image of a lamb's head appeared and was there every night for weeks during the services, and people were coming in to look. They didn't have overhead projectors in them days. There was no way of doing it by electronic means. But there's a way of doing it in the realm of the Spirit. And the realm of the Spirit is far more advanced than technology today. The Word says all wisdom comes from God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. I hope I've not bored you. Can we just bring your pen a second, please? I know where I got to. Thank you.